evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 21st of July. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear and then show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out the river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. We talk to charter boat skipper Captain Matthew von Sturmer about saltwater fly fishing out here in the Gulf. Our freshwater reporters check him. And as always, we'll finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Now, the fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 23rd, Sunday. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does that mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. However, there is a trick, and Met Service will be talking about it shortly. Remember the saying, new moon fisherman's favourite, full moon fisherman's folly. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact Hooked on Fly Fishing Radio Show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, now let's get into it. Met Service weather. Met Service have a severe weather warning. There's a heavy rain and severe gales for parts of central and southern New Zealand. You need to check their website, metservice.com. Now, individual forecasts. The Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A complex trough crosses the area today. The trough moves slowly eastwards on Saturday, with the ridge moving onto the North Island on Sunday. The forecast for Manukau and Waitemata harbours, Saturday. Changing westerly 25 knots late morning, easing to southwest 20 knots by evening, rain easing to a few showers in the morning. Both harbours on Sunday, southwest 20 knots, fine spells, possible showers. Waikato forecast, Saturday. Showers, possibly heavy, easing late morning, then clearing in the afternoon as fine spells increase. Northerlies turning southwest in the morning. To Waikato on Sunday, fine spells, light winds. Met Service Rotorua, good evening anglers down there. Forecast for Saturday, showers possibly heavy, easing late morning. Remaining showers clearing towards evening as fine spells increase. Northerlies gradually turning southwest. And Rotorua on Sunday, fine southwesterlies. Met Service Taupo and Taumarunui, Saturday. Showers possibly heavy, easing late morning, then becoming confined to the south in the afternoon as fine spells increase elsewhere. Northerlies gradually turning southerly. Taupo and Taumarunui on Sunday, fine spells, light winds. Canterbury Plains. Forecast for Saturday, rain, possibly heavy at first, gradually clearing from the south in the evening. Snow down to about 300 metres for a time in the afternoon. Strong southwesterlies, gale in exposed places, easing at night. Canterbury Plains on Sunday, becoming mainly fine, northerlies developing. Okay, thanks to Met Service for those reports. I encourage you to look at their website, metservice.com, for severe weather warnings and the very latest in forecasts. Now, as we mentioned, the new moon is round on Sunday and good fishing couple of days either side of the new moon. However, all the rivers have blown out today. For instance, the Pūnui River, 23 kilometres south of Tiawamutu, is currently at 9.4 metres of rising. It's flowing at 34 cumex and rising too fast to fish. The Mangatutu River, the next one over, is at 2.6 metres and rising. It's flowing at 14 cumex and rising way too fast for this river. The Ohinamuri River, measured at Karangahake Gorge between Pāroa and Waihi, is at 12.4 metres and rising. It's flowing at 30 cumecs and rising too fast to fish. Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo has gone from 0.5 of a metre yesterday to 1.4 metres today. Then that's also well up on last week. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 76 metres and rising. It's flowing at 44 cumecs and rising too fast to fish. The Whanganui River at Puriaka, listen to this. The Whanganui at Puriaka on Thursday night was 28 cubic metres. Today at lunchtime it was 228 cubic metres per second and it is now at 128 cubic metres per second. This river fishes well between 22 and 25. It's now 128. Too dangerous to fish. The Tongariro River, measured at Turangi as an example, was 33 cumecs on Thursday night, 367 cubic metres at lunchtime, and it's now 100 cubic metres per second. Too dangerous. Now, all these rivers, I say, are too dangerous to fish at the moment. You'd have to be very, very careful if you get near the water. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for that information. Be careful out there. Okay. We'll have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. You're hooked on fly fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. And Bert is an expert angler, and that's exactly why we want to talk to him. Now, we don't pre-record this stuff. We get these people live, and we do thank them for their time. Bert is live on here with us now. Good evening, Bert.
Good evening, Colin.
How are you, Bert?
We were lucky last night. We didn't get blown away.
Okay, you've had a big weather bomb went through yesterday, did it?
Oh, until about 2 o'clock this morning, we've had a huge amount of rain. There's slips all over the place. There are trees down all over the place. We've still got people without power here. I don't think it's as bad as what Timaru has got. I think they've got a state of emergency down there. Mm-hmm. But all the rivers have flooded through the town, so yeah, it's a bit rough down there. But yeah, last night was bad enough. The wind gusts were 50 kilometres an hour, and when they hit the house, they certainly made it shudder. And amongst it all, we even had a small earthquake.
An earthquake as well? I didn't hear about that.
No, nobody has, but there was certainly a bit of an earthquake last night. So, it wasn't much of one, but it was enough to... Oh, what was that, you know? Everything's pretty much flooded out. They got the control gates at Akiri Falls wide open.
Yes.
We've just had a huge amount of rain. It came up just over half a metre in Lake Rotowiti.
Gosh, that's an awful lot.
It's a lot for a big lake.
Yeah. Okay, because I suppose the catchment, everything is waterlogged.
Oh, it is.
So water can't go anywhere. It's just,
No, it just runs down the nearest hill. And, of course, when you start getting that sort of thing building up in there and already waterlogged, it doesn't take much for things to start slipping and sliding.
That's right. Oh, gosh. Oh, well, that's an earthquake. It all happens down there, doesn't it?
Oh, this is a hub of excitement down here. I mean, there's great fishing. There's interesting weather. I wouldn't say great weather. It's interesting weather. One thing you got to watch after these big floods that we've been having, with the amount of sediment that's coming down, it takes a while for that to settle out on the bottom of the lake and become compacted.
Okay.
And, of course, if you're not aware of that, you can walk out and all of a sudden find yourself in anything up to half a metre of sludge in the bottom of the lake. And if there was like tree stumps in there where the force of the flood has pulled that tree stump out, that has left a hole that has since been filled up with soft sludge.
Yes.
So you can walk yourself into a half a metre deep hole. Mm. And that, I can tell you, is embarrassing because you usually end up flat on your face. Mm. And the water goes down to where water shouldn't be, especially the cold stuff.
Mm. We've mentioned this before, and you're quite right to point it out again. You've got to be very, very careful. Yes, that's right. And you get stuck. Now, the forecast is not good for tomorrow. Sunday, a little bit better, but then more rain on Monday, Tuesday, and clearing on Wednesday. It's going to stick around for another 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, unfortunately it is, and we've got a heavy rain warning out for tonight, so if we don't get the wind with it, it won't be quite so bad. But, you know, like, that rain was horizontal last night, and with the wind gusts, it was just horrendous. If we don't get the wind tonight, there's not very little wind today, which has been quite good. But it is a lazy one. It tends to cut through you rather than go around you. So, if you're out and about in there, stick to where you are. Travelling's not a good idea. Even last Monday night when I was over at the Tauranga Angler Club, driving from here across Pies Par Road, I ran into quite a significant amount of rain on the top of the hills. And and the road itself is not in the best condition. It gets a huge amount of traffic now and a lot of trucks. And, of course, there were corrugations all over the place. And with a wet, slippery surface, it wasn't an enjoyable drive.
Right. I'll ask you about Tauranga Anglers Club later. Okay, if someone does get a chance, like Sunday is fine spells, possibly morning fog, southwesterlies, where could you nip out on Sunday for a quick fish?
Yeah, well, I'd be looking at somewhere like, depending on the wind direction, somewhere like Stony Point on Tarawera. Boys Beach on Okaraka. If the wind direction is southwesterly, you can probably even get down the go along the boardwalk towards the outlet of Okaraka and wander down there. Could be quite sheltered from a southwesterly. It'll certainly be coming from left to right anyway, which is great for right-handed people. But then also with the southwesterly, it's going to be pretty gnarly down by the dump and places like that. But you could sneak into something like Ruatau if the wind's not too strong. Hauparu Bay, which can fish quite well at this time of the year too.
Okay. Now all this it's right at the end of school holidays now. There was lots of people around, I would imagine, in the first part of the holidays, but they're starting to head back home now, I presume?
Yeah, the traffic's starting to build up, and I think they're going to wait and see what happens tonight, and there'll be a heap on the road tomorrow and probably Sunday. So I know people like to get back a couple of days early just to settle down and get everything sorted out. But, she's been pretty rough conditions, so I think people are going to stay put, and certainly not much night travelling anyway.
Yeah, good idea. Be safe on the roads, that's right. Now, you love talking about fishing. You love fishing. You write about fishing. You've done a TV show about fishing, a radio show about fishing, and you talk to fishing clubs all over the North Island on a regular basis. You said on Monday night you were at Tauranga Anglers Club, was it?
Yeah, it was. They enjoyed themselves, and I've got this shooting headline that I set up, and I actually took it over with me and gave them a quick demonstration on how it works and what it's made from and how to join it and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I talked about the winter fishing available still around Rotorua, and then shot outside, and I had about 20 out there watching, and with one cast, this shooting head can do around about 33 metres. It's just a standard everyday. In fact, it's a composite Velman CD Down Under series, the third series. So it's not a new rod. And 33 metres with a shooting head line, or any line for that matter, is not bad. Yes. And even the guys who have never used a shooting head type before, we're up around the 25 to getting close to 30, some of them. So, and a bit of practice, I'd be up there as well. And I mean, I wasn't even really trying. They didn't actually realise just how far it had gone until we paced it out. And get 25, 30, 31, 32, and then all of a sudden, whoa, that's a pretty good cast. And I put it down to the combination of the rod and the line, but that shooting head is just made from LED and a braided backing, and it works exceptionally well.
Okay. I use a saltwater fly fishing bird. I use a Rio shooting head. I forget what it's called, outbound something.
Mm-hmm.
It's got braid on the back, very thin braid, all braid thin. And once you get it past the guides, the top guide, you only just pull it back once and then let it go. And by gosh, it can fire some bloody line out, can't it?
Absolutely, and with this one, this LED, you do exactly the same. I usually have about 30 or 40 centimetres out from the tip of the rod. And once you get that rod loaded properly, she's all go, and you end up firing that line out very, very easily, and you don't have to worry about your back cast as much. And the other thing, too, is it's exceptionally cheap. I mean, you can spend significant amounts of money for a shooting head line, and they're good, there's no doubt about it, but you start losing one or two a season, that certainly mounts up very, very quickly. About $65 for 100 metres, and I use 13 metres on a 7-weight rod.
Okay, and it does the trick for you. Just
it does the trick for very, very well. It's great for crossing down the Tongariro. Perfect for that. The Whanganui River, any big water with turbulence, it's perfect for that. Absolutely perfect for glow bugging. Anything like that. And of course, if you've got little bits left over, you can turn those into sink tips for your floating line as well, varying lengths.
Yeah, good tip, yeah. Now, I haven't been to the Tauranga Anglers Club. Good turnout, was it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. We ended up with about six or so strangers at the club, though, because I wrote about it, mentioned it in my column on the Saturday, and they had six new potential members turn up, so that was good for them. They've got, it depends on the time of the year and the conditions at night, but anywhere between 40 and 60 or so can turn up, so it's quite good.
That is very good. Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club, we struggled to get 35 or so now. Yeah, especially winter time. mind you, it can take you an hour and a half to get there sometimes. That's a problem.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I must say that every time I've gone to the Auckland Anglers Club, they've had a good turnout, so I'm always pleased about that. And my biggest challenge is because most anglers clubs tend to have a fairly high average age.
Yes.
Especially back in, you know, when I first started getting into fishing, then the clubs were, average age was up around 60, I think, at the Hamilton Anglers Club. And it might even be a bit higher. And my biggest challenge is making sure that nobody goes to sleep. So I'm always watching everybody, and I try and, you know, keep them going and keep them interested and things like that. So yeah, that's my biggest challenge when I talk to any group, for that matter.
Yeah, well, I've seen you several times at different speaking events and different fishing clubs, and it's always enjoyable. You do a very good job at it, and it is appreciated. You're the one with the knowledge, and people want to hear what people are doing. You're the one that lives here and fishes there. So.
Yeah, well, when I first started, it was hard to get information out of anybody. Mm. And I did get threatened with physical violence when I started writing about fishing and mentioned a few places that people had as basically their own personal fishery and did not like sharing it. And once it got out, I tell you, my name was mud for many years. But now people realise that the fishery can be shared. Yes. And there's still room for anglers, and they're providing they do the catch and release where necessary and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, I agree. There's plenty of room for everyone. There's a huge amount of fresh water in New Zealand.
Well, you look just around the Waikato, I estimate there was well over 1,000 kilometres, and you could probably treble that, of fishable water in the Waikato, and most of which is hardly touched.
I agree. I fished the Pūnu a lot on Newman Road.
Mm-hmm.
That bit is open all year. I know a guy who lives on Newman Road, and I'm the only one that fishes it.
Yep.
I can go literally years without seeing anyone.
Absolutely.
And Mangatutu is a bit more popular. But anyway, you're right, there's thousands of kilometres and bugger all fishermen.
Yeah, same around, and even probably more so around the Rotorua district, because you've got your outlying areas, you know, when you start getting down to the Waimana Gorge and places like that, you know, and you hardly see an angler there. They either go right up the top or they don't go there at all. Okay. And, you know, the Opito and places like that. It's just amazing. You can wander up there and never see a footprint.
That's right. Now, I suppose the Tauranga anglers, they'd fish up around the Ohinamuri as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they do. But they're, even around Tauranga, there is some amazing fishing to be had. And a lot of people don't realise it. In fact, the club, I think, were having, I'm not sure if it was this weekend, they were actually going up the lower Kaituna to fish areas that you can't necessarily get at easily from the shore. I think they're going out by jet boat or boats anyway. Mm-hmm. And a lot of jet skis and stuff on that river, and they asked me how fish reacted to that, and I just gave them my experience of the Ohau Channel when boats and stuff were going up and down, and I was always told, you know, if your fishing's really hard and a boat goes up the channel, get your line right in behind the boat and get it down, because the fish move out of the way and they move back in again, and if they haven't been on the feed, they're likely to snap at something going past once they've been disturbed.
I understand your thinking there, yes. Yeah, get your fly and cast right at the back of the outboard.
Yeah, as long as you don't get too close and get it sucked back into the outboard. I mean, they're a hell of a thing to play, I can tell you.
Yeah, because they go up there and back into the lake, don't they? Yeah. Okay, all good tips, and that's why we want to talk to you. Thank you, Bert. Now, your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm on 0272896079. Just flick us a text or give us a call, and there'll be quite a few this week, mainly from Tauranga, but yeah. See how you know what's happening and what your wind direction is at any given time when you ring.
All right, so that's Rotorua Fishing. Ring Bert Robinson or text on 0272896079. Bert, thank you. We do appreciate it. Good information. Keep dry, and we'll talk to you next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for that call.
Thank you, Bert.
See ya.
Mr. Bert Robinson, gosh, good stuff. He gives out a lot of information all over the country, and it's all free. Well done, Bert. Okay, we'll have a very quick break, and then we'll see if we can get hold of Captain Matthew von Sturmer.
There was a moon out in space, but a cloud drifted over its face. You kissed me and went on your way. The night we called it a day. I heard the song of the spheres like a minor lament in my ears. I hadn't the heart left to pray. The night we called it a day. Soft through the dark, root of a now sky. Send the whistle, no bluer was he. The moon went down, stars were gone. The sun didn't rise with the dawn. There wasn't a thing left to say. The night we called it a day.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Rod and Reel have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't you worry about that. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Matthew von Sturmer is a saltwater fly fisherman. He absolutely bloody loves it. He's also a charter boat skipper. He's Captain Matthew von Sturmer. And Matthew likes tying flies, writing and talking about the sport he loves. And that's exactly why we want to talk to him. Matthew is live on air with us now. Good evening, Matthew.
Good evening, Colin.
Are you well?
Well, thanks, yep. Just survived some of the dreaded man flu.
It's vicious, that man flu.
It is.
You
it
tell Carmen.
Wives
somewhere.
And daughters just mock. They mock and laugh and ridicule. They don't realise how vulnerable we are. It's a different strain.
It is. Well, you tell Carmen that I can back you up on this, that man flu is very, very serious indeed.
It is, exactly.
Okay, now. The weather. They say that Waiheke is about 2 degrees warmer than Auckland. Is it true?
Yeah, I've heard such rumour. I mean, we've definitely got a microclimate.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, occasionally we get the full brunt of a north system, northwest system, as we just have. But more often than not, we get slightly drier conditions, and we get... You know, it can be quite dry when it's pelting down on the city. So it's a really good point because I was just thinking about things we might chat about on the radio, because as you know, I don't do extensive research on the meagre salary you don't pay. I just make stuff up, and we always have a good time because we sort of, between us, we decide what might be interesting to talk about. But I was wondering whether... I just made a couple of points about chartering and fly guiding, because it is a new thing, really, isn't it? Particularly for Auckland saltwater fly fishers, they haven't really had the option, and we're blessed with the ability to go out and just do it ourselves, and that's our Kiwi nature. But I just thought I'd touch on a couple of points, not giving myself a plug and suggesting you come and spend money with me, but just to discuss, the maybe plant some seeds that might make you think differently about the whole idea about paying for some saltwater guiding. Because there's the other person to mention is, of course, Lucas, who's running a king tide salt fly. And the two of us are busy enough, but it is interesting that sometimes Kiwis just don't get the full benefit of a service that, such as we're running, whereas the internationals are more accustomed to not only using guides, but then actually maximising their time on the water. So that, I just thought, make a couple of comments there.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's talk about how does an American, say, maximise his time with you, whereas a Kiwi might not maximise his time with you?
Yeah, I think one thing, what's talking about the weather's quite a good one. So one of the things, and this may just be the nature of travel, but I do find the internationals, when they book, they book in complete confidence that I know what I'm doing. And the difference with the Kiwis is they often second guess the weather and the conditions and when it might be good to go fishing. And then that attitude continues on through the charter. Mm-hmm. And whereas I think the internationals are more inclined to basically sort of front up and say, well, look, you know what you're doing. You know the local conditions, and I'll not only sit here and take your guiding and instruction, but I'll also utilise the whole experience. So they, in a sense, expect more, but also let us do our job. And I think the Kiwis are more inclined to treat it a little bit, put it this way, less like a learning experience and a little bit more like fishing with buddies, and have a sense of actually spending the time wanting to demonstrate what they know themselves and their own ideas and so on and so forth, which is all good, but it just left me thinking sometimes it's quite hard to deliver for me to deliver my full service if someone doesn't really want to take the full package. And to sort of explain, an example of that, I guess, is, and this is true of all anglers, whether they're internationals or locals, but, both Lucas and I have chatted before about, we see a lot of casters on the boat, and the casting that we see, the strengths and weaknesses, is all to do with the fishing that we're trying to deliver to the client, and we're both highly motivated for the clients to have an excellent time and basically to catch fish. Mm-hmm. So we're very willing to make comments and suggestions. Neither of us think that we're experts, but we've got enough experience and we know what might make a difference on the day. It's a really interesting thing, just working out how you might say to someone, hey, look, just slow that casting stroke down and it might make a difference. So, there's that element when you're on the water. The other one is having an open mind. And I think the internationals come along and they quite often don't know what to expect. So we can start to do things that I perhaps do when I'm on my own. But Kiwis may have an expectation of what they want to achieve, and that may not be available on the day, and we're sort of, you're almost on the back foot from the get-go, as opposed to just sort of hitting the water and exploring the options and then making use of what's available on the day.
Okay, yeah, all right, I understand. Now, do you find that some Kiwis balk at the cost of a guide or a charter?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I mean, I guess that's the core issue. I know that both Lucas and I have got, we've got Kiwi regulars, and we've got a number of people who charter us once, sometimes twice, and they're really interested and they basically want to extract as much knowledge of what we're doing, where we're doing it and how we're doing it, which is really great, and there's no issue there. We're both very open, very encouraging of more people hitting the water. So I'm experiencing, you know, there's real growth in salt fly, and we both want to be utilised in that way. But, you know, we both talk about the comments that you get about being expensive. So I mentioned to you when I spoke earlier today, I've just spent the day in town updating, as I do as a commercial operator annually. We update our charts, we have our fire extinguishers serviced, we renew our flares, so on and so forth. Yes. So all of our gear is top notch, it's serviced, it's up to date, and as in terms of regular motor servicing and so on and so forth. Yep. So, you know, let's just round things out. If we're $800-$900 a day for a day's fishing, and we both do half day rates, and you can split that between any number of anglers between one and three. Yes. So the thing that's interesting is that if you did the figures about boat ownership yourself and you kept a pretty tight rig with, you know, serviced engines and all the things you want so you can actually maximise your time on the water, mm-hmm. and then you calculated all the drama of parking and launching and so on and so forth, it makes chartering a really good option if you are someone who perhaps fishes, you know, 10 to 20 days per annum.
Yes.
You'd have to really seriously consider whether you'd be better to put that money into, you know, a relationship with a charter guide.
Yes.
Versus owning a boat yourself.
I agree. Well, I know what it costs to put my boat in a hard stand at Half Moon Bay. I've got a motor service coming up that could be anywhere between 600 and 1,000. And it's just regular maintenance that you've got to do.
Yeah, that's right. And as commercial operators, we have a whole raft of expenses over and above normal boat ownership. But the thing is, we then offer this ability for the anglers, completely stress-free, to, I mean, they could even turn up without gear, walk straight onto a boat, fish all day, have the benefit of a guide, and then just walk off and have none of that drama. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting, and I think we're both, you know, going to see increased uptake. But it is something that I do notice that, you know, that people don't tend to, as Kiwis, do the maths and conclude that, you know, chartering guys that are on the water working things out is a hell of a good way to go. I think the Aussies have. I think, you know, the Aussie in Sydney Harbour, there's a big uptake of locals, and maybe boat ownership may be a bit more expensive there. But, you know, I'd have to say, as you say, owning a boat in Auckland, parking, storage, so anyway, that's my rant.
Okay, no, very good. Now, people got to realise there's a hell of a cost in being a licensed charter boat operator, isn't there?
Well, and there's confidence for your clients for that, the rigorousness of that system. You know, we know what to do, we know where to go. You can have confidence that you've got a qualified skipper on board who's really very committed to your fun, your safety, your success during the day. And I don't know about your friends, but you can't always guarantee that that's the way when you're you head out with a bunch of mates. No. Have you ever been elbowed to the side of the boat where a fish jumps? You know?
Now, talking about fishing, I was out on Wednesday. The sea temperature around Park Point and Matetea Bay was 12 to 13 degrees. I've never seen it so cold.
Wow, okay, so that's quite a drop.
That's a big drop.
I was out a week prior to that, and I was still hitting 14, 15, 16 degrees. So we've had quite a drop. Really interesting season as far as I'm concerned. So up to 2 weeks ago, I've been seeing a lot of anchovy schooling action.
Okay.
We've had a lot of snapper in shallow in the reefy areas, and encountering kingfish on most trips that I'm hitting the water locally.
Oh, excellent. And I see you had a young fella out on the boat who got a nice fish too recently.
Look, that was just a real charming little moment. So that was the week prior to that I had Joshua Hutchings, who's Aussie fly fisher. So I'll touch on his trip in a minute. But
well, we've only got 3 minutes to go, Matthew. So
okay, mate. Yeah. So look, that trip last weekend, bunch of fish, charming little guy who just fired a heap of questions, and I said to his mum, look, this can't, we got to get him on the water. So I took him and his mum, and he just had a ball.
Excellent.
So, yeah, there's a great little crew coming through.
Yeah, well, that's good. And you get to use all the latest Sage gear and all this sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, looking forward to, I've put my order in for the Sage XHD technology salt rod. So that's going to be a really nice stick to fish with, and that should just be a few weeks away. Looking forward to that.
It just won a rod of the show or something, did it overseas, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, it's by all accounts, all the reviews and anything that, you know, the best qualities of the X and the Salt series. So yeah, looking forward to that.
All right, keep in touch.
And hopefully see you down at the Turangi Fly Fest in a few weeks.
That's right, I might well be there. Okay, Matthew, thank you. Now, your contact details, please.
So Salt Fly Fish, Facebook and website, otherwise 021-865593.
Captain Matthew Von Sturmer, 021-865593. He's based in Waiheke. Go fishing. He loves it. That's what he does. Matthew, thanks for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing. Keep warm and dry and tight lines.
Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Matthew. See ya. Bye. Matthew Von Sturmer, 021-865593 or Salt Fly Fish on the website or Facebook page. Thank you, Matthew. Well done. And Maritime New Zealand are very, very strict on the things that he has to comply with, or all charter boat skippers comply with, and I can tell you it's bloody expensive. Well done, Matthew. Okay, we're just coming up towards the end of the show. Excuse me. We have got time for the fly fishing tip of the week. Yes, we have. In fact, it's not a fly fishing tip of the week as such. It's a quote by John Steinbeck. Quote, "It has always been my private conviction that any man who pits his intelligence against a fish and loses has it coming." I like that. John Steinbeck, well done. Okay, as we said at the top of the show, Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Now, Rod and Reel and Newmarket have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't worry about that. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel, whether it be saltwater fly fishing, freshwater fly fishing, or saltwater fishing, will help you choose the gear, and then more importantly, they will show you how to use it. They've got an extensive website, and there are big sales on at the moment, midwinter sales. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, we'll be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. And I'll just reiterate that there is some severe weather warnings for Met Service. You need to check metservice.com before you go fishing. As we said at the top of the show, all these rivers have really taken a big jump up today. Be very careful. Until next week, good fishing and tight lines.